Radio.
Meditations by Father John Vlada.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask pardon for my sins and the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. Lord, as we begin our prayer now about the Rosary, we invoked Our Lady, our Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, her most chaste and faithful spouse, our guardian angel. Help us to pray well about this beautiful devotion that arose out of Christian piety. In those early centuries, the lay people wanting to accompany the monks and the priests who were saying the divine office with its 150 psalms would accompany them by saying 150 Our Fathers, sometimes counting them on beads. Then around the year 1000, the Hail Mary became popular, just the first part of that prayer without the Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, which would come in the 16th century. And gradually they began to meditate on your life, your infancy and childhood, your passion and death, your resurrection and glorification. And so the Rosary gradually took shape over the centuries. And finally, in 1569, Pope Pius V, the Dominican, standardized the Rosary in its present form. And in 1571, that great Battle of Lepanto took place, in which the Christian navy, heavily outnumbered, defeated the Turks. The navy under Don Juan of Austria, with only 208 galleys, as against the 286 of the Turks, set sail from Naples, and Pope Pius V, Saint Pius V, gave Don Juan a copy of the image of Our Lady of Guadalupe, which had been touched to the image which was imprinted miraculously on the cloak of Juan Diego in Mexico 40 years before. The image was placed in the chapel of the ship commanded by Admiral Giovanni Andrea Doria of Genoa. They set sail on the 16th of September, and Pope Pius asked the Church to pray the Rosary, to implore the help of Our Lady for success of that fleet, knowing that it would be difficult. But the Turks dominated the Mediterranean at that time, and they could land anywhere on its shores. They had to be defeated. And finally, at dawn on October 7th, the two navies met in the Battle of Lepanto in the Gulf of Corinth. Significantly, as the Vatican archives later revealed, at the very time the battle began, the Pope, accompanied by many faithful, was praying the Rosary in the Basilica of St. Mary Major in Rome. The prayers continued throughout the day. Although the wind initially favored the Turks, it finally changed to favor the Christians. And when the battle was finally won around 4 p.m., the Turks had lost some 200 galleys and 25,000 men, while the Christian casualties numbered only some 7,500. In gratitude for that great victory, Pope Pius V ordered that a feast would be celebrated on October 7th with the title Our Lady of Victories. In the following year, which was 1573, Pope Pius's successor Gregory XIII changed the name of the feast to Our Lady of the Rosary, and the feast was extended to the whole church in 1716, following the victory of the Christian armies over the Turks at Peterwardein in Hungary. Lord, what a beautiful prayer you have given us through popular piety, and a prayer that has been recommended constantly and said regularly by so many people. We can go back to the 18th century where St. Alphonsus said, "At the present time, there is no devotion more widely practiced by the faithful than this one of the Holy Rosary. What have the heretics not done to discredit the use of the Rosary? But well known is the extraordinary good the world has received from this most noble devotion. How many have been freed from their sins through it? How many began to live a holy life? How many obtained a good death and are now in heaven?" The following century, the 19th, Pope Pius IX was on his deathbed, and one of the people with him asked what was on his mind in those moments. And he answered, "Actually, I'm contemplating the 15 mysteries of the Rosary depicted on the walls of this room. If you only knew how encouraging they are to me. Considering them is most comforting. Meditating on the joyful mysteries, I forget about my pain. Considering the different phases of the Passion, I am greatly heartened, since I tread the path of suffering in the company of Christ who went before me. When I bring the glorious mysteries to mind, I am filled with joy. It is very clear to me that all my pain is being converted into glory. What great solace the Rosary has been on my deathbed. The Rosary is like an abridged version of the Gospel. It provides rivers of peace to those who say it well. By far, it is the richest devotion, and the one most abundant in graces. It certainly is the most pleasing to the heart of Mary. Remember me, my sons, by this final testimony I am giving to you now." Pope Pius IX's successor, Leo XIII, declared October the month of the Rosary in 1883. And he wrote an encyclical on the Rosary in 16 successive years, beginning in 1883. John Paul II, Saint John Paul II, said, "The Rosary is my favorite prayer, a marvelous prayer, marvelous in its simplicity and its depth. In this prayer, we repeat many times the words that the Virgin Mary heard from the Archangel and from her cousin Elizabeth. The whole Church joins in these words." And then we can skip forward to Pope Francis, who, an address at Castel Gandolfo outside Rome on the 16th of August 2013, said to the people gathered there, "Mary joins us. She fights at our side. She supports Christians in the fight against the forces of evil, especially through prayer, through the Rosary. Hear me out. The Rosary. Do you pray the Rosary each day?" And this is a question we should all ask ourselves. What value do I give to the Rosary? And not only in theory, acknowledging its importance. Do I say it? Do I say it regularly and hopefully each day? Do I say it well? The Rosary is a powerful prayer. We just considered the Battle of Lepanto. Through praying the Rosary, ships were sunk. A battle was won. At Fatima, Our Lady asked that we pray the Rosary for the conversion of Russia. Who cannot say that the fall of communism starting in Poland and spreading throughout Eastern Europe was not due to the praying of the Rosary since 1917. Our Lady herself urges us to say it at Lourdes. She appeared there with the Rosary in her hand, and Bernadette took out her own Rosary and began to say it with Our Lady. And at Fatima, Our Lady encouraged the three children and all of us to pray the Rosary. Sister Lucy of Fatima, in a letter in 1978, said, "Our Lady asked and recommended that we pray the Rosary every day. She repeated it in all the apparitions, as if wanting to put us on guard, so that in these times of diabolical disorientation, we would not allow ourselves to be deceived by false doctrines, weakening in the raising of our soul to God in prayer." She recommended that we say it every day. And Sister Lucy goes on in that letter, "The Rosary, for the majority of souls who live in the world, is their spiritual daily bread. To deprive them of this prayer, or to take them away from it, that is, to weaken in their soul the enjoyment and good faith with which they pray it, is, in the spiritual order, the same as, and even worse than, since the spiritual order is very much superior to the material order, if, in the material order, people were deprived of the bread necessary for their physical life." Beautiful way to look at the Rosary, our daily bread, the daily nourishment of our soul by that prayer to our Lord and our Lady. The Rosary is a rich prayer. It is a prayer that makes reference to the Blessed Trinity. When we begin with the sign of the cross, when we say the Apostles' Creed, which draws to our mind the truths about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And every mystery ends with that praise to the Blessed Trinity, "Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen." It is a prayer to the Father when we say at the beginning of each decade, the Our Father. It is a prayer in honor of Christ. We say in the middle of each Hail Mary, "Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus." And we meditate, Lord, on your life, your infancy, your suffering and death, your resurrection and glorification. And in the new mysteries of light that St. John Paul II gave us, your public life. Pope Paul VI, in his apostolic letter Marialis Cultus in 1974, spoke about the emphasis on Christ. He said, "The Rosary is a prayer with a clearly Christological orientation. Its most characteristic element, in fact, the litany-like succession of Hail Marys, becomes in itself an unceasing praise of Christ, who is the ultimate object both of the angel's announcement and of the greeting of the mother of John the Baptist. Blessed is the fruit of your womb." We would go further and say that the succession of Hail Marys constitutes the warp on which is woven the contemplation of the mysteries. The Jesus that each Hail Mary recalls is the same Jesus whom the succession of the mysteries proposes to us, now as the Son of God, now as the Son of the Virgin, at his birth in a stable at Bethlehem, at his presentation by his mother in the temple, as a youth full of zeal for his father's affairs, as the Redeemer in agony in the garden, scourged and crowned with thorns, carrying the cross and dying on Calvary, risen from the dead and ascended to the glory of the Father to send forth the gift of the Spirit. As is well known, at one time there was a custom, still preserved in certain places, of adding to the name of Jesus in each Hail Mary a reference to the mystery being contemplated. And this was done precisely in order to help contemplation and to make the mind and the voice act in unison. Lord, in the Rosary, we are honoring you. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, we say to Mary, Jesus. And we meditate on your life. The Rosary is a rich prayer, a Trinitarian prayer, a Christological prayer, prayer to the Father, and always prayers to Mary, our Mother. And we love to honor our Mother, by which we honor you too. The words of that woman from the crowd that we read in the Gospel of St. Luke, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts that nursed you," as if to say, "Blessed is the mother that brought you into the world." In honoring your mother by those words, she was surely honoring you. And all of us can say the same. If someone honors our mother, we are happy. They are honoring us. And with those 50 Hail Marys, we honor Mary, your mother. And then the Rosary is a rich prayer in that it is, on the one hand, vocal prayers. Each one of the prayers we say has a fixed formula and is therefore vocal prayer. It is at the same time meditation, because as we say the vocal prayers, we are invited to meditate on the mysteries. We are meditating on your life. And in each one of those brief meditations of perhaps 3 to 4 minutes in each mystery, we can draw out so much. We can consider so much and make resolutions, have insights for our spiritual life. And it is at the same time contemplation, where there is that gaze of love at some mystery of your life. Pope Paul VI, in Martialis Cultus, spoke about that. He said, "There has also been felt with greater urgency the need to point out once more the importance of a further essential element in the Rosary, in addition to the value of the elements of praise and petition, namely, the element of contemplation. Without this, the Rosary is a body without a soul, and its recitation is in danger of becoming a mechanical repetition of formulas, and of going counter to the warning of Christ, and in praying do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. By its nature, the recitation of the Rosary called for a quiet rhythm and a lingering pace, helping the individual to meditate on the mysteries of the Lord's life as seen through the eyes of her who was closest to the Lord. In this way, the unfathomable riches of these mysteries are unfolded." So the Rosary is a prayer which is vocal, meditation, and contemplation. And it is rich in the sense that we consider so many aspects of our faith. The mysteries, Lord, of your life. So many doctrines of faith are included in the Rosary. The doctrine about the Blessed Trinity, about your incarnation, about Mary's Immaculate Conception, her assumption into heaven, her crowning as Queen of Heaven. We consider so many virtues that are implied in those mysteries, important virtues like faith and hope and love and humility and chastity, docility to the will of God, fortitude. All the important virtues are contained in the Rosary. We meditate on the sacraments. With the new mysteries of light, we are invited to contemplate some of those sacraments. And in one way or another, we find all the sacraments in the Rosary. It is, as Pope Pius IX said in those words we quoted, an abridged version of the Gospel, or sometimes translated a compendium of the entire gospel. Our Catholic faith is contained in those mysteries. And Lord, if we pray it well, we consider regularly those important truths and practices of our faith, how much good it does us. And Lord, help us to say the rosary well. And if we can, to pray it in the family. Pope Paul VI, in his apostolic letter, Mariolis Cultus, wrote, "The rosary should be considered as one of the best and most efficacious prayers in common that the Christian family is invited to recite. We like to think and sincerely hope that when the family gathering becomes a time of prayer, the rosary is a frequent and favored manner of praying. We are well aware that the changed conditions of life today do not make family gatherings easy, and that even when such a gathering is possible, many circumstances make it difficult to turn it into an occasion of prayer. There is no doubt of the difficulty, but it is characteristic of the Christian in his manner of life not to give in to circumstances, but to overcome them, not to succumb, but to make an effort." And Lord, help us to do that. In our families, if only two or three can be there, let us say the rosary. And we don't force the older children to come, we invite them. And hopefully they will come of their own accord. And we can invite each of the children to suggest the intention for which we are going to pray each mystery and invite that child to lead the mystery. And then they are involved. And then in 2002, Pope John Paul II gave us the mysteries of light in his apostolic letter, Rosarium Virginis Mariae. And he too spoke about the family rosary. He said, "As a prayer for peace, the rosary is also and always has been a prayer of and for the family. At one time, this prayer was particularly dear to Christian families, and it certainly brought them closer together. It is important not to lose this precious inheritance. We need to return to the practice of family prayer and prayer for families, continuing to use the rosary." And he went on, "The family that prays together stays together." And we recognize those words of Father Peyton, the great promoter of the family rosary. And John Paul II goes on, "The Holy Rosary, by age-old tradition, has shown itself particularly effective as a prayer which brings the family together. Many of the problems facing contemporary families, especially in economically developed societies, result from their increasing difficulty in communicating. Families seldom manage to come together, and the rare occasions when they do are often taken up with watching television. To return to the recitation of the family rosary means filling daily life with very different images, images of the mystery of salvation, the image of the Redeemer, the image of His Most Blessed Mother. The family that recites the rosary together reproduces something of the atmosphere of the household of Nazareth. Its members place Jesus at the center. They share His joys and sorrows. They place their needs and their plans in His hands. They draw from Him the hope and the strength to go on." And Lord, help us to listen to those words and to do what we can to say the rosary in our family. And not to forget either that when we say the rosary in family, we can gain a plenary indulgence under the usual conditions each time we do that, that added blessing that the Church gives us. And we can say the rosary on our own. And we can say it in so many different circumstances. Sister Lucy of Fatima, in that letter that we quoted before, said, "Therefore, we must pray the rosary in cities, in suburbs, in towns and in villages, on roads as we travel along them, in churches and chapels, on trips or at home. It is a prayer which is within the reach of everyone, and which everyone can and should pray. There are many people who do not participate every day in the liturgical prayer of the Holy Mass. If they do not pray the rosary, what do they pray? And without prayer, who could be saved? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Lord, help us to find the time each day to pray the rosary. And it can be while we travel. It can be at home. It can be in a chapel or church. And again, the church grants us a plenary indulgence whenever we say the rosary in a church or chapel. And let us try to say the rosary better, meditating more on those mysteries, perhaps considering some word or phrase of the Hail Mary that we emphasize in this particular day. Mother of God, or pray for us sinners. Jesus, full of grace. Whatever words we like, and that helps us to say it better. And then we will gain so much grace from this age-old, beautiful devotion that has been recommended by the popes, by the saints, and encouraged by Mary herself. If we want to please our mother, we will say that prayer that she wants us to say. And we ask you, Mary, help us to love this important devotion that arose out of Christian piety and that you so often recommended and that will do us so much good. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you have communicated to me in this time of prayer. I ask your assistance in putting them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.
For more from Father Flada, visit fatherfladablog.com. And for more talks, interviews, and shows, visit cradio.org.au.